Good morning, everyone. Today's Bible reading comes from Judges chapter 16, verses 1 to 6. Judges 16, 1 to 6. One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn we'll kill him." But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him, so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." This is the word of God.
Those under 18, sorry, just kidding. Okay, let's pray as we look at Samson and Delilah. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. You lay it all there. You show us what we are like, what people are like, our struggles, and yet you speak to our brokenness and you give us hope. And you still care for us, and you are there for us, Lord. Father, we pray as we read your word, as we think about the message of Samson and Delilah. Father, we ask for your spirit to write upon our hearts, Lord, the things that you are speaking to us. We pray also, Father, that you would help us to live out our faith and be people who please you as we are active in our faith, as we are engaged with your word and living out in our lives. So we pray and we ask this in your son's name. Amen. I'm not sure if you've played the game Capture the Flag. Capture the Flag is basically a game where there are two teams of people, a number of people on two teams, and you've got to grab the opposing team's flag and get it to your side of the playing area without being tagged. You played Capture the Flag? Probably? Yep. Okay. Well, Judges chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, Samson is playing his version of Capture the Flag. Let me tell you the story. One day, Samson goes to Gaza. He sees a prostitute and spends the night with her. The people of Gaza, the Philistines, the word is out, they say, "Samson is here." Now the Philistines are pretty keen to capture Samson. If you remember what happened last week, he smashed 1,000 of them. And so they surround the place and lie in wait to capture him. They think, let's wait till it's morning. We've got to see the enemy and capture him. But Samson outsmarts them. In the middle of the night, he gets up and he leaves. The city gates are locked. No problem for Samson. He takes hold of the gates and he pulls it off together with its post and carries the entire thing on his shoulders to the top of the hill in Hebron. So this is Samson's version of Capture the Gate. So Samson has brought this gate of a major Philistine city, perhaps even the capital, Gaza, right up to Hebron, which is 38 miles away. Samson wins again. Samson 1, Philistines 0. Verses 1 to 3 gives us a description of Samson. It describes what Samson is like. If you do like a SWOT analysis, strength, weakness, opportunity, threats, what's his strength? He's physically, he's got the guns, he's got the biceps. Samson is the man. Okay, he's got physical strength, supernatural physical strength, empowered by God. Strength, weakness, he's a bit weak on the women's department. And I'm not talking about shopping, okay? Strength, weakness, and threats. The enemy is his threat. The Philistines, they don't like him. They want to capture him. They want to kill him. So that's his threat. So that's chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. It describes Samson. Then if we go on to the next part of the passage, verses 4 to 22, it describes Samson's capture. What's it like? Let me tell you the story. Samson has a weak spot for women, and he sees a girl that he likes, Delilah. When he's with Delilah, time just passes. It seems like moments. You know the feeling, folks? He's in cloud nine when he's with Delilah. He's fallen in love with this Philistine lady. Okay. The rulers of the Philistines, they get it, they get wind of it, and they go and approach Delilah. They offer her money to take down Samson. They want to know what is the secret of his strength. So Delilah thinks, oh, that's good, lots of money in the bank. And if she takes down this national Israelite hero, she's going to be able to give some interviews. She's going to be famous. So Delilah works her charm on Samson. She asks him, Samson, dear, you've got nice biceps. She puts on her perfume, makeup, and she says, what is the secret of your strength? With a sweet smile, of course. Samson, of course, is no fool. He's not going to tell her his secret. The secret of my strength. So he plays with her. He makes it up. He says, if anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become weak as any other man. Delilah tries it. She ties up Samson when he's fast asleep. And the Philistine soldiers are ready to pounce, but it doesn't work. Samson gets up. He snaps the bowstrings as if it's strings that touches fire, and it just snaps. Again, Delilah tries. Samson, you lied. How could you lie to me? You made a fool of me. Come on. Tell me, what is your secret? How can you be tied up? So Samson says, it's new ropes. Use new ropes. That's my secret. I've never been tied with new ropes. I'll be as weak as any other man. Delilah tries it again. Samson snaps the ropes off as if it were thread. Delilah, she says, you're making me a fool. You're making me a fool. You're making a fool of me, lying to me. Tell me, how can you be tied? Samson says, if you weave the 7 braids on my head into fabric on the loom and tighten it with a pin, I'll be as weak as any other man. Samson is sleeping. Delilah braids his hair. She tightens it with a pin. Again, Samson wakes up, pulls out the pin, and he's free. 3 times. This time, Delilah is determined. She brings out her secret weapons. She brings out the tears. She starts crying. And she says, you don't love me. How can you say you love me if you do not share with me deep and meaningful the secrets of your heart? Where's the trust? I'm just another one of your girls. So Delilah uses her words and she presses and presses and presses Samson daily until Samson can't take it anymore. He breaks down emotional torture and he tells her everything. Do you see the power of ongoing temptation? It can weaken any person. So Delilah puts Samson to sleep on her lap. She calls the Philistine hairdresser to come shave off Samson's hair. Samson wakes up. He thinks, I'll just go out and I'll be free as before. But in verse 20 it says, he did not know that the Lord had left him. See, the Lord was the secret of Samson's strength. So Samson's strength is gone. The Philistines catch him. They gouge out his eyes and they take him to Gaza. Earlier, Samson had carried the gates of Gaza, but now he is captured. He is bound by shackles and he is made to grind grain in prison. The next verses, verses 23 to 31, speaks about Samson's death. The chapter ends with the Philistines having a great celebration. They've managed to capture Israel's national hero, Samson. So they give praise to Dagon, their god. When the Philistines see Samson blind and bound, this is what they say. Our god, Dagon, our god has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our lands and multiplied our slain. So they're so euphoric, so excited that they finally captured Samson, that they ask that Samson be brought out to be humiliated. They want Samson to come and entertain them. So Samson is brought out of prison to perform for them. Samson tells the servant who is holding his hand, he says, put my hands on the pillars of the temple that are supporting this temple up so I can lean against the pillars. I can't see. The temple is crowded with people. The rulers of the Philistines are there. There are 3,000 men and women on the roof. And Samson prays to God one last time. This is his prayer. Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me one last time so that I can take revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. So Samson reaches to the two pillars. He outstretches his hands and he pushes with all his might. The temple comes down, and in Samson's death, he kills more of the Philistines than his entire life. And the chapter ends with this: Samson judged Israel for 20 years. What's the taste in your mouth as after listening to Samson's life story? To me, it's bittersweet. It's tragic to see Israel's hero, Israel's champion, so low, blind and bound. But it's marvelous to see, on the other hand, that even in his death, Samson delivers Israel from the Philistines. So today I want to reflect on this story about Samson in chapter 16 and see what are three lessons. I'm sure there are more lessons, but three lessons that we can learn from Samson's story. And these are the three lessons. The first one, beware of weaknesses that can be our downfall. Why was Samson captured? Samson had a weakness, and it was women. And it was his downfall. The last scene of his life, he is blind, he is grinding grain in Philistine territory. But what about you? What about you? What is your area of weakness? What is the weakness in your life? What is the weakness that Satan can use against you? Is it pride? Is it fear? Is it anger? Is it unforgiveness? Dishonesty? Is it the love of money? Is it power? What is the weakness that can be your downfall? Where are you vulnerable? A weakness that can be exploited. The other day, Jean and I were watching a movie, and after watching 5 minutes of this movie, we said that, oh, this is a bit of a rubbish movie. It's not really good for us. The sexual innuendos, the flirtatious conversations, and the wrong view of relationships and marriage, that just by watching the movie, they were saying things that, oh, this is not good. This is not right. I don't believe that. If I hear this, it's not helpful for us. So we turned it off and we watched Luther. And we watched something else. Yeah, okay. The next day we were chatting about it, and I thought of the simple man, the simple young man in Proverbs 7. Read Proverbs 7, it's a great proverb. In Proverbs 7, it describes a youth who is inexperienced, a youth who has no sense, a youth who walks into the trap of a prostitute, who with persuasive words seduces him. He's caught like a deer in a noose, not realizing the danger that he was headed for. What kind of movies do you watch? What websites do you go to? See, we must realize that life in this world is a battle. There is a real Satan. There is an enemy who seeks to destroy us. And he will use whatever means he has at his disposal. We are called to be sober. We are called to be alert, to be watchful, to be vigilant, to be on our guard against these attacks. Portia Nelson has written a poem which I've modified a bit, but I thought it's really helpful, so I'll read it to you. I walk down the street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. It takes forever to find a way out. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. It still takes a long time to get out. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. I get out immediately. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. I walk down another street. Samson kept flirting with danger, and in the end, it led to his ruin. We must learn from our mistakes and not keep walking down the same road, which is what the poem is about. So that's the first lesson that we can learn. Beware of our weaknesses that can be our downfall. The second lesson, salvation is by grace alone. Okay, I want to ask you a question. Do you think Samson made it to heaven? You've heard about Samson, his life, his escapades, his exploits, and his... Yeah. Do you think Samson made it to heaven? In Hebrews 11, it tells us that this man, Samson, with all his faults, is part of the company of witnesses watching us run our race. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't that good news? Samson is in heaven. I'm so excited that Samson is in heaven. Because if Samson is in heaven, it means that salvation is by grace alone. Because surely Samson does not deserve to be in heaven. Samson's life is a contradiction. A man, on the one hand, supernaturally empowered by God's Spirit, his strength, chosen by God to deliver Israel, but yet at the same time with such obvious, glaring flaws. Moral failure. The Bible makes clear, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Peter the Apostle, used mightily by God, yet denied Jesus 3 times. David, a man after God's heart, yet a murderer and a person who committed adultery. All God's people are flawed. I know a Christian man who attended church faithfully every Sunday without fail. He wakes up in the morning, early in the morning, he sings and he prays, he does his morning devotions diligently. Yet this same man had a terrible temper. He would get angry, he would shout at his wife and kids, and there was even a history of physical abuse at various times. Over the years, God was slowly changing him. The physical abuse stopped. Yet he still struggled with a bad temper. Some days, till the day he died. Where is he today? I know that this man is with the Lord. Why? Because salvation is by grace alone. It is a gift. It is not something we deserve. It is not something that we earn or merit. So Samson is a great encouragement to me. A man of great strength and yet a man with glaring weaknesses. And we too, you sitting down there, each one of you, you are a person of great weakness, and yet you are able to do great things for God. You are a sinner, a sinful person, and yet you show faith in God. You're here. Why are you here? Because you are putting your trust in God. We too sometimes live lives of contradiction. We have moments of clarity when we live a life that pleases God, and we have moments where we mess up. We have areas that we do well in, and yet we have other areas that we struggle and struggle and struggle. Do we get this? Do we believe this? Our lives are marred with sin and weaknesses, but despite that, we can rest in the finished work of Jesus. His death, His resurrection. We are saved not because of what we do. We are saved because of what Jesus has done. This is what Samson teaches us. Even if we make mistakes, even if we struggle with a particular weakness, till the day we die, even if we fall into temptation, if our faith truly is in Jesus Christ alone, then nothing can separate us from the love of God. When we draw our final breath, we will be with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, do you get it? For it is by grace that we are saved. Through faith, it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. It is faith in Jesus that saves, not how good we are. You may have grown up in church. You may have been taught not to lie, to honor your parents, not to steal, to do good. But if you are sitting here today and you have not put your trust in Jesus, it means that you are not saved. I urge you to put your trust in Jesus alone. If you are already a Christian, then let Samson's story be a reminder that salvation is by grace alone. We need to be reminded because our default is works-oriented. The third lesson that we can learn from Samson: faith pleases God. In Hebrews 11:32, the writer of Hebrews mentions Samson's name. Now, if I were writing Hebrews, I would actually not mention Samson's name because, I mean, why do you put Samson's name there? A man with moral failure? He's an example of faith? Come on. Why is Samson in Hebrews 11? He's just too easy to find fault with. But the Bible lifts up Samson as an example for us to learn from, and as an example of faith, of trust in God. Hebrews 11:32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms. So Samson's faith is a positive example for us to learn from. So the question we have to ask is, how does Samson show us his faith? How is his faith highlighted? I think two ways that it seems to come out is that Samson puts his trust in God. He relies on God, and we see that when he prays. When he's in a situation, he cries out to God and he says to God, remember me. He is praying to God. He is putting his trust in God. He's looking to God for help. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see. Another example, we have Judah. Judah is binding Samson and handing him over to the Philistines. The tribe of Judah is saying, oh, why are you causing trouble to us? Don't you know that the Philistines are rulers over us? Don't cause us trouble. So Judah is not siding with God. They're siding with the enemy. On the other hand, Samson is siding with God. Samson is fighting the enemy. So another example of his faith is that Samson fought the Philistines. He got his hands dirty. He took the jawbone of an ass and he went forward to fight. And I think that's faith. Faith, as we see Samson siding with God and taking on God's enemies, the Philistines. So these are two ways that we see Samson's faith. And we learn that faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. So the question we ask is, are you living a life of faith? Are you living a life of putting your trust in God? Are you living a life that shows that you believe in God? Do you side with God in fighting with God's enemies? For us, we are not fighting against any physical group of people. Please don't go and throw stones at anyone who is not a Christian or anything out there. That's not what I'm saying. But God calls us to fight the good fight of faith. When we, when we choose to stand up for God, when we choose to do what's right, when we choose to love our enemies, when we choose to put our faith into action, we are siding with God. We are taking a stand in these things. We're not being neutral. And that faith pleases God. So whatever we do out of our faith, we please God. Even how badly we do it, that's fine. But because we're doing it in faith, out of our trust in God. So think about your life. Think about your life. Do you live a life of faith? What difference does faith in God make in your words and actions? One way is when you believe that heaven is your home, that heaven is your home, and the Bible says, set your treasures in heaven, not your treasures on earth. So when you live like that, you are living a life of faith. Because you can't see that, isn't it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You're not seeing it before you, but you're believing it and you're living in a certain way because you believe that is true. Heaven is real. It's eternal. I'm going to live with God for eternity. And so you're living a certain life here based on that. You're living by faith. When you seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and you live that out, you are living a life of faith. And when we do that, we please God. God is pleased. God is not looking for perfection. God is looking for faith. It is our faith that pleases God. When you trust that Jesus Christ died and He rose again and He's coming back, and you live a life based on that, you are pleasing God because you are living a life of faith. So that's the third lesson that Samson teaches us. So friends, faith pleases God. So think about your lives this week. Are you living a life of faith, of trusting God? Because that's how we please God. How about we close in prayer? Spend a few moments thinking about Samson's life and asking God to speak to you, to show you what He is saying to you. Because we are all different. We are all on this journey and God is personal with us. Just close in prayer. Father, we thank You that You have put the story of Samson for us to learn from. Father, we pray, Lord, that we would take heed of the warning. That Lord, we will not take for granted the areas of our weaknesses. We pray, Lord, Father, that You would give us resolve and the strength of Your Spirit to keep fighting and putting to death our sinful natures. Lord, we also just want to thank You for the gospel. We thank You for grace that You have shown us. Father, we pray, Lord, that our hearts will be rested and content knowing that it is not what we do, Lord, but what You have done for us. We just give you thanks for this gift of salvation. We pray that, Lord, we would treasure our relationship with you, and that you help us to grow as we walk with you. Father, we also just pray that you would grow our faith and trust in you. Lord, we do want to live lives that please you, to live lives of faith, of trust, of belief in your word, and living according to what it says. We pray that you would empower us and strengthen us this week as we leave from this place. We ask, Lord, for your grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of your Spirit to be with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.